would you like to become a private lender and get recurring cash flow? Stephen Arita will tell us how to do it. And Stephen Arita is an investor and the founder of Arita Capital, host of the Path to Passive podcast and a senior solutions architect at Amazon Web Services. And Stephen started his career in a small town on the Big Island of Hawaii, and he used tech and real estate to design a path toward financial freedom. And he now helps high-income tech professionals escape the stock market-only mindset and invest in real estate like insiders without needing to quit their jobs or become landlords. So Stephen, tell us about how can someone become private lender for big projects and get recurring cash flow.
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrașcu shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Hey, Lily, thanks so much for having me on the show. Absolutely. So as you talked about the audience, the person that I am really focused on helping. Now, I think it's important for everyone to understand these strategies and really know what the road lies ahead of them. And so when we're talking about a private money lender, you know, the types of strategies that I'm really referring to is those that you might find from that are ones that usually are available to those like accredited investors or if there are sophisticated investors as well. So those are the types of projects that I'm referring to. Not exactly like the, you know, the private money lender that might be for a single family home or, you know, smaller projects. But really what I'm talking about is investing in a fund where you would invest in that has the when you have seasoned operators, people that really understand how to work with much bigger deals like multifamily projects or apartment investing, maybe your audience is familiar with, and it might even be industrial or mobile home parks as well. But basically, the lending, this private money lending that these deals that are available are actually by sometimes be able to loan a second mortgage. Right, a second mortgage coming in second position of something called the capital stack, which we can talk about as well, so that the operators of those projects wind up paying back the fund and that goes back to the investor. And so that I kind of gave a big picture of what that business model looks like, but the idea of this private money lending in this context is really partnering with great people who have access to these kinds of things, who are great at what they do, have a great track record to make sure that, like you talked about, becoming a private lender, but making sure that you get that recurring cash flow. Because you want to know, I'm sure, Lily, that as you're investing in anything, you have stable cash coming in that's not volatile, doesn't, you know, come up or down, but you know is coming in on a consistent basis.
Thank you. What are the requirements for someone to become a private lender for this type of projects? And what kind of return ranges can they expect to get?
Yeah, so in this case, like I'd mentioned, there's two different types of the qualifications of investors, sophisticated investors, accredited investors. We focus on accredited investors. And so what an accredited investor is someone that has basically, if they're single, would be making $200,000 over the last couple of years, or $300,000 if they're a couple, and or $1 million of net worth, not including their primary residence. So that's what that accredited investor is, and that's what the qualifications they must have in order to invest in a deal like this.
Thank you. And tell us more about the kind of returns they might be able to get, the return ranges.
Totally. The return ranges. So in this case, I work with partners, the operating partners who have been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years. And so the return ranges here are for there's different levels that you can invest in. And so based on that investment amount, you're going to get different returns. But it's going to be somewhere between 8 to around 14% based on the level that you come in at. And a more specific example there is, you know, you would come in at $100,000 as an example. You would get somewhere between a 10 to 14% on a return annualized. And in this case, the way the investment is set up, you have the option to keep your money in and reinvest the dividends that you get so that compounds. The hold time here for the investment is 2 years. And again, like I said, post that 2 years, you can continue to reinvest so that your returns will continue to compound as well.
Thank you. Let's say if I was to invest in a property investing project by myself, okay, then I would get like a return, plus I would get potentially capital appreciation within a few years and so on. How does the capital appreciation part work in terms of when you become a private lender? Do you get a piece from that as well? Or
do you mean in which part are you asking about? Are you asking if you get...
Yeah, let's say that I'm becoming a private lender for one of these projects, and let's say the project is actually to invest in a multifamily or in a property mm-hmm. deal of some sort. Is there a part where I will also benefit from the capital appreciation of the building that we are all, let's say, investing in?
Got it. So you're wondering, do you get a piece of the upside if something yes. sells, basically?
Yes.
So for this particular fund, the reason why, so the short answer is the way that you take part in that is on that quarterly basis. There are assets inside of that fund which will be sold off, and additional distribution would be made at that point. And so, you know, unlike there would be, you know, people might, you know, have heard of things like syndication, where there's a hold time for one particular asset, right? Where 3 years or 5 years down the line, you know, you might get a big lump sum, but, you know, those kind of projects, you may not really be getting cash flow for the first year or two. This is different because after investment, you would actually get paid within 90 days, and then you would be getting paid on a monthly basis after that. And so what this is really about is, so you would share in some of those as you're calling it, capital appreciation or that additional dividends on a quarterly basis as, you know, some assets within the fund are sold off. But it's really about more of an income fund from a really stable perspective.
Thank you. Why would someone invest and become a private lender and get this kind of recurring cash flow versus investing in other property projects or in other projects? What would you say are the main benefits?
Yeah, number one, I would say just like you opened with the title here, is recurring cash flow. And most importantly, it's really, really stable cash flow. You know, if you've looked historically over the last, couple of years, you know, I know people that have invested directly in, you know, a particular project, specific projects for multifamily as an example, where, you know, they may be only getting 5, 6, 7% across that entire, you know, annualized return, way less versus a really consistent, like I said, at 10, 11, 12%. Similarly, in other projects, you might be taking a little bit more risk as well. So in terms of the, you know, we'll call it risk-adjusted returns, really simply, just for the amount of returns you're getting and the risk taken, this is a really great, very stable income. So this bridges into a different topic here altogether, which is, where are you in how you're building your portfolio and your asset allocation, right? This lends to, well, why would I invest in this thing versus something else, right? Well, it probably stands to reason if you're pretty early on in your investing career or you're looking for something with more stability, this is one of those things that is so great. This type of investment is so great because, you know, high-tech, you know, professionals in general, they want to have different streams of income that come in that are very reliable, that isn't just from their, you know, primary means of earning. And then later on, as you've added on more and more to your portfolio, you can, you know, take a little bit more risk to get a little higher return on that risk-adjusted return basis.
Thank you. Tell us about real estate investing for tech professionals and your own journey from tech to real estate. How did you get there, and why do you want to now appeal to tech professionals as well for them to get into real estate?
Yeah. So talking about this, my story is, every time I reflect on this kind of thing, it's been a long ride, right? So, you know, everyone has heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad in their life. And I'm not going to go on about that, except where my story is a little bit unique is that I actually grew up in the same town where the author Robert Kiyosaki was from. And so I can remember back then reading that I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, like, what am I going to do? Right. But fast forward, I was thinking, well, I have to make income as well. And my skills were tech. I went through all the different certifications. I moved from the Big Island of Hawaii, Hilo, that small town you mentioned, to Seattle. And, you know, it was from there I was able to get different, you know, jobs at, you know, network and engineering. You know, I landed roles inside of Amazon Web Services, which I still hold today. But, you know, along the way, I thought, okay, well, if I can get income, I can, you know, buy a couple of single family homes, which is what I totally did. You know, I bought some single family homes, but they don't make a ton of cash flow, right? You buy it and they appreciate some, and that's great. And I sold some of those off. But the point is, you know, there's ways to scale. You know, in one side of my life, inside of, you know, the tech world, I'm thinking about scale, really large systems and that kind of thing, you know, operational excellence. But on the other, I'm investing. I'm making only a couple hundred dollars here or there. And, you know, of course, you know, there'd be repairs and taxes and everything else that would kind of wipe away a lot of those yearly returns. And so as I started learning more, I started learning about, you know, I was joining different groups and masterminds, paying into those and learning about, you know, people from the network and what they were doing. And I stumbled across apartment investing. This is the multifamily. This is, you know, the not just the 40 or 60 units, but people were buying and taking down like 100, 200, 300 units at a time, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And I thought, okay, but if I want to be part of those teams, there's what skills and what assets do I have that are transferable? But I kept on going down this rabbit hole and thinking, what is the way that makes sense for me to invest? What are the things that, you know, other tech professionals also need? Because I talked to my peers, you know, in the tech world about this, and what do they need? You know, they don't want to invest their money into something that they don't think is quite going to work. I mean, I invested money into a project that didn't do well, you know, six figures into a deal that didn't do well. And it's kind of recovered since. But the point being is, what really was an aha moment for me was that I wanted stable cash flow earlier in my this part of my career, so that I can keep on stacking that and then go into riskier and riskier things. And again, as we talk about risk things, it could be things that might get you a 15% return, a 20% return or more, right? Or invest in things that might be for tax benefits as well, such as those in the energy or oil and gas areas. But you know, my journey has been really kind of experimenting a lot and thinking about what makes the most sense to start really growing an asset, a portfolio, and what good asset allocation looks like.
Thank you. Tell us about why a property investor might consider investing in a multifamily project versus, let's say, a single family or, you know, a project they would do by themselves, for example. Is there a big benefit? Are there like economies of scale that you benefit from when you are part of such a massive project, when you become a private lender for a massive output project like this?
Got it. So you were asking about a single family or investing in a multifamily, and then if they were going to do their own project as well, active? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the benefit of them participating in a large project like this by becoming a private lender?
Wow. Okay. So this is a huge topic, but I'll simplify it and keep it pretty streamlined as possible. So I think one of the most important things to take inventory of, and this is pretty, you know, this isn't Steven's advice. This is me having, you know, lots of conversations, my own podcast where I've talked to people, et cetera, et cetera. But the number one thing is to always take inventory, right? And by taking inventory, it's what is your own time availability, and what are your own, and that's really one of the biggest limiting factors. What is your own time availability? I'll have people, you know, come to me and say, hey, Steven, or hey, Arita, like, what, I'm interested in real estate, where should I start? And this is where some of those conversations would start. So let's start with the, what if someone were to go do this on their own? Well, they absolutely could, right? Active real estate, you're likely to go and make more money than just being a private lender. Now, this is if you are willing to take all that time to go and do it, and to get the same education to go do it, and to go and experiment. And that's totally fine. And for those that want to go do that, and I highly recommend it, right? But this is why I'm talking about taking inventory, right, of that time. Because if it's not your core competency, if it's not the thing that you really want to do, but you still want to get great returns, then one of the best ways to do that is go and partner with someone that has more experience than you in that area. Because Lily, if you're wanting to go tap, you know, someone else who's an expert in those places, I mean, you do things, you know, as authorship, you do tons of other things. You want to go work with the people that are the best at what they do. And of course, you want to go, you know, up-level yourself along the way. And that's kind of what that is like when you go to invest in something like a multifamily project, like something that's a higher scale. You said economies of scale. So moving from a single project, right, you're kind of, you know, you have to put in that amount of time, and you're kind of capped to a certain amount of capital if you're doing it on your own, or you learn those skills you've vested over time as well to go and do a bigger, but that takes time as well. So moving on from that next level of, you know, investing in something that's like a multifamily, these apartments, or some other type of asset class where you're investing in money, then, you know, in those cases, you could be investing in a syndication, which is actually becoming a limited partner or an equity partner, not necessarily doing private money lending, but in... I'll just focus on, if you were to invest directly in one particular asset, you would need to find a deal just that'd be a private lender on one particular asset, but then you'd be tied to one direct asset. Whereas in a fund like what I'm talking about, there are multiple assets, and you become a private money lender where you could have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 projects going on at the same time inside of that fund. So the economies of scale are much greater than lending in just one property itself. Does that make sense?
Yes. Tell me more about becoming a private lender and getting recurring cash flow. Tell me about 3 case studies of entrepreneurs, property investors, or investors that have worked with you and they have managed to get some great results. And if you don't have those, tell us more about perhaps you being a private lender for different projects, and how did that work out for you?
Yeah, so my investments have all been equity based at this time, mostly equity based. I'm actually raising for a deal right now for this particular asset class, because I have done lending on private money lending on smaller things, so I know what the model looks like. But I've invested in property development, I've invested in multifamily, I invested in medical office buildings, and this one that I'm raising for, I'm going to be putting my own money into this deal as well, because this is where I want to go. Talking about my experience in the past, this is what I'm saying. I recognize that this is one of the areas that I want to round up my own portfolio on, because I've already invested in some of the riskier deals that have gotten me returns. So, you know, in those cases where I've done smaller scale lending, I have lended out some money, and you know, $10,000 or so, and I've gotten back like you know, there's a origination fee, meaning like at the start of when that loan is put together, as well as points, which is like, you know, or part of that, which is, hey, there is that origination fee, but there's also, as part of doing this, you're going to give me, you know, X number of percentage on the loan that was put out as well. And so they would pay back the entire amount. It's about 3 or 4 months, as well as that interest on top of it. And so that's what this would end up looking like. Do you want to talk about that particular, what this would look like to invest here, or yes, where else would you like to go? Yeah, so in this case, for this particular fund, like I was saying, it's a private credit fund. What's going to happen, I'll talk about this for myself, what I'm going to be doing is here for this particular fund, I'm looking to raise until March 31st. It's going to be what's called evergreen. So it's an evergreen fund. It's going to be continuously open, but we're going to be only accepting money to deploy every 90 days, every quarterly basis. And so that the money that's invested will get deployed into a bigger fund. So it's what's called a fund of fund model. And from there, once it's deployed, like I said, it'll take some time for me to write, you know, sign some papers with a subscription agreement for it to go into the fund that will then get deployed into a bigger fund, which then has to, you know, this money, like it's behind, there's real tangible assets, right? And so that money will then get deployed as loans into some of these properties or new properties that I'm referring to. And then from there, that money goes to work. The capital goes to work. So within 90 days afterward, I'll get my first check, my first returns. And then once I do, I will start getting that on a monthly basis. And so, I mean, I've been looking at this company. My partners are called Aspen Funds. I've known them for, you know, a little over a year now. I've sort of met the people. I've looked into them. And so I've been on the calls, got the updates, you know, did some diving into this stuff. So it's I'm really confident in this.
Thank you. Tell us what else you would like entrepreneurs to know, entrepreneurs and investors to know about becoming a private lender and getting recurring cash flow. Anything else you'd like to share? Are there any like commandments for someone to follow when it comes to becoming a private lender and getting recurring cash flow with your projects?
Yeah, I think I'll talk a little bit more, you know, kind of more, I think, sound investing advice, which, you know, were some good aha moments for me and why I choose things like this. And one of the things that I found particularly relevant is this idea of, you know, you want stable cash flow. And, you know, people will make comparisons to like the stock market and, you know, other real estate asset classes like we just did earlier. And I think one of the important things is, you know, you'll hear about just an example, like the stock market as an example, where, you know, it's like a 8 or 9%, you know, year over year average return. But here's the thing, and you can run the model on this too, is that what we're really looking for is things, investments where it's not volatile. It's not going to dip a bunch 1 year, right? And then it's going to come back, you know, double the amount, right? Because you probably heard this, Lily, about, you know, if you lose, you know, rule number one, Buffettism, rule number one is don't lose money. You know, rule number two, see rule number one, right? And so the idea is, if you have a stream of income that is continuing to pay returns and you're getting and that is compounding, that is way better than if you make, you know, you lose, you know, 25% 1 year or 15% 1 year, and you end up making, you know, that same, you know, amount back the next year. It's not the same as if you would be compounding 1 year to the next, to the next, to the next. That is a steady increase over time versus it being a lot more volatile. And volatility is actually what kills the investments. Anyone who's got a stock portfolio or, you know, can go and see that graph in real time, heck, you can, you know, go look at it if you were to Google S&P or whatever. And so I think that is kind of be a really good aha moment, which seems so basic. Some people are just going to skip past, but I would really take a, you know, a second look to think about, you know, for the own investments, if people are looking at their own projects, you know, where have their own investments in syndications or something else? How have those gone? And that would be a big one. The other thing I would really look at is, like I said, to be really honest with, for anyone who hasn't made any investments yet, to think about that inventory. What do they want to do with that? And if they want to go out and you know, do this on their own, you talked about active real estate, which I highly suggest too. But there's ways to go about on that learning path, right? And part of that, and one of the safest ways to do that, is being a private money lender so that you can understand how the assets and how the finance is working. Because investing in deals, right, you know, anyone's deals, assuming you've vetted the market, you've vetted the operator, right, the people operating it, and you've vetted the deal itself, then you want to make sure that you're asking a lot of questions so that you understand what that looks like. And so volatility is another. Take an inventory for themselves, you know, are really big ones. And, you know, I would also say, think about your own asset allocation and where, you know, what types of things fit. If, you know, there's been periods of time where if anyone has made an investment, they may have gone into a syndication or something else. Even people that are doing active real estate, something like putting active real estate, getting big chunks of money at a time, you know, things where you can get your chunks of money and you can invest it in cash flow that is really stable, that will compound on the side, is fantastic. So, you know, that is something to look at, how to round out the portfolio as well.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Totally. So you can go check out my podcast, Path to Passive Real Estate Investing for Tech Professionals. And, you know, if you want to have a direct chat, don't want to listen to anything there, I'd love to connect on LinkedIn as well. My name is Steven Arita. So you can just search for me there. Feel free to connect. And I'd love to see how I can help you in any of your goals, my projects or anyone else's.
Thank you. One last question. What made you an Awakens Titan? What kind of like awakens the Titan within to kind of like allow you to work on these kind of like massive property projects and investment projects? What would you say was the catalyst to your journey?
The catalyst to my journey? You know, I think that one of the things that has always been part of my journey, but continued to, you know, get stoked or more and more of it over time, was really just following my curiosity. And I think, you know, that is such a big deal, you know, with just, like I said, following my curiosity, thinking about, you know, not what it is of what other people are saying, what we think we should do, but just, you know, what is the thing that really resonates with me? And I would think that there are multiple of these cases over time for me. I'm not sure I can pick one particular thing, but, you know, you have to listen to that voice that you have for you, that kind of that where it resonates with things. And if you're hearing things that kind of conflict with that, it's like, you know, hey, Lily, you should really do this thing. Or hey, whoever, you should really do this thing. Like, listen to it, try it on. And if that doesn't work for you, then you have to go after what, you know, really is for you. Because, you know, if anyone wants to think about what makes them unique, oftentimes it's like, well, I don't know what's special about me. But you leaning into the things that you love is what makes you unique. And you have to listen to that voice and just go all in.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.